Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is the Gospel of Matthew. Last Thursday, after fulfilling tour of Ireland, I was flying back, and over the Atlantic Ocean, I looked down and saw Greenland. And it wasn't long after that I got to thinking. Now, usually I don't have any fear of flying. You know, we trust these airplanes, these pilots, and all that goes on. But for the moment, I started to wonder if there were not 30,000 feet between me and the ocean, but 0 feet. I mean, what would you do at a time like that? Now, when I'm having those kind of thoughts, of course, I can't tell my family or my friends because they're all going to panic if Dad and the pastor have these thoughts. You know, it might be some kind of premonition. But at that grim prospect, I got to thinking, well, if that were the case, what would be my greatest loss? My worldly possessions at that moment meant little. I wouldn't be your pastor any longer, and I couldn't come back and say goodbye. My family was with me on the plane, and they would suffer the same fate I would. But it occurred to me at that time that nothing really mattered except what was going to happen to me after death. I tried to save my loved ones, as many people as I could, but my most treasured possession would be what God has done for me and would do for me after I was gone. And I suspect it's the same for you, isn't it? After all, isn't that what led you here this morning to God's holy church? We value our possessions, and we try to take care of the people that we love. We scurry around with life day to day with all the responsibilities that we must fulfill in our busy lives. And we seldom stop to think that there will come a time for us, for every one of us, when none of these things will be able to help us. The old saying goes, we came into the world with nothing, and after we cross that great divide between living and dying, we take nothing with us but our souls. So for a moment today, let's consider what our most valued possession is and also what God treasures the most. Jesus told parables about treasure, and here in the 13th chapter of Matthew, we see these. And in the parables, he compared the kingdom of heaven to a guy who was going through a field, working there perhaps, and found some great treasure. And it just encapsulated his mind. And he covered it up again. He sold everything he had so he could go out and buy that field, and then the treasure could be his. Now, that should be nothing new to us, because buyers do the same all the time. You know, it's garage sale time. And you have all these people, when you have a garage sale, they come to your house and they're looking, aren't they? And some of them, you know, they're like the professionals. They come and they know what they're looking for, and they're not going to pay hardly anything for it. And what are they doing that for? Well, they're going to buy it low, take it home, maybe to their shop, and they're going to sell it for hopefully a lot more than they paid you for it. Used cars are a lot like that, aren't they? It's a deal to get a used car. Well, it's good for the dealers, too. They take in an old car from us, and the dealer takes it, he fixes all those little things that annoyed us for the last 5 or so years, and then he sells it for a lot more than he gave us. Why, the whole understanding of the stock market and international business that drives the whole world's economy works on this principle. You buy something undervalued, and hopefully you can sell it to someone who pay you more for it. So when we hear this parable about the treasure hidden in the field, I think that we usually apply it to ourselves personally first as a teaching about us, don't we? We think that it says that the treasure in the field is what God has done for us, and that it's worth everything that we have, and we should be willing to give up everything so that we can possess and hold on to what God has done for us. It's a great treasure. Now, this is true, and there's nothing wrong with this explanation. God's gifts to us, the kingdom of God, really is a treasure. To know that God accepts you and that you belong to him and that he has a purpose for you makes all the difference in living in the world. I think if we could always remember this thought and keep it in mind, what great joy and peace there'd be in our lives and everyone else's. We wouldn't worry about not having what we think we ought to have and trying to keep up with other people around us. We would be happy with what God gives us because we know that we have found the kingdom of God and that we will live with him forever. And there's certainly nothing wrong with this explanation. But I think there's more to it, more to Jesus' words and more meaning here. The parable is not so much about us, but it's about our God. He's the man who was going through the field and found the great treasure. And then he gave up everything so that he could have the treasure and possess it. And you know what the treasure is? Do you know? I think you do by now. The treasure is you. You're the treasure in God's field. Now, you may be a simple, ordinary person, somebody that others might pass by in the street and not even know, not think there's anything special about you. And looking at us ordinarily, there's no apparent reason in us why God would go out of his way and give everything for us as he's done. But God often does what we consider to be absurd. He takes all he has, everything he has, and he gives it away so he can have you. You are God's treasure. Isn't that what happened in Bible history? From the earliest pages of the Bible, we see this. In the reading from Deuteronomy today, we see that God says it was not because the people of Israel were great in number or some mighty nation that he came to them and led them and chose them. There were plenty of other tribes fancier than they were back then. While the Egyptians alone were more advanced than any other civilization on earth, we still don't understand how they made all of those great things that they did, those monuments. But the Lord didn't choose them to be his people. It was because God loved Israel, and he made a promise to help them. And it's the same with the Jesus and his words to us today. That's the message of the cross. There isn't anything about us that made God want to sacrifice himself on the cross for us, to give his very life in such a gruesome way so that we could live. It's just that he loved us that much. It's a rather reckless love, isn't it? But it's the whole reason for our salvation. We are the treasure in the field. Now, that doesn't mean that you might feel like a treasure this morning. You may feel tarnished, worn, broken down, unworthy. You may view yourself as that kind of stuff that at the end of your garage sale you have to give away. You know, just say, take it. It's going to the dumpster. Nobody may think that you're a treasure in life. Nobody but God, your creator. For you, he lived, suffered, died, rose, ascended. He did this for you so that you could be his, you could be forgiven, you could live. Now, God treasures everyone in this way, but not everyone wants to be treasured by God. So Jesus went on to say in his parables that the kingdom of heaven is like a net that's dragged through the sea. In Ireland last week, I went to this town and I saw all these fishing boats. There were little ones. There were medium-sized that plied the bays and the shores of Ireland. And there were some huge ones that went all around the world over to the Alaskan Sea and brought home great piles of fish, tons of fish, that they dragged from the sea in their nets. The church, God's church, is like that net. The net is cast out, laid out, wherever the word of God is preached. It brings in many. But when the catch is sorted, only those who place their trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, as the Christ of Scripture, is betrayed. These are the fish that are kept. What happens to the rest? Those who think that God might owe them something because they lived a good life, or they did good deeds, or they gave offerings to God, what happens to them? Those who trust in their own works are cast out. They are excluded. Jesus says this in his words, "The angels will come and separate out the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace." Now, God did treasure them, but because they would not recognize that they were a tarnished treasure, he could not keep them. And my friends, this is very serious. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus says the angels will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and everyone who does evil. So we should take his words to heart today, and we should do everything possible to avoid living a sinful lifestyle, a lifestyle that is contrary to the commandments of our God. Because not only do we endanger our own salvation when we live in such a way, but we also, through our example, draw others to destruction with us. But Jesus concludes this section of parables with the image of a good teacher who is like a master of the house, like the owner of a mansion. And when his guest comes, he brings out his treasure, that is, the new things, the teachings of God's reckless love for sinners as Jesus preached them. But he also brings out the old treasures as well, along with the words that the prophets spoke before, the commands and promises of God. Friends, today remember that you are God's greatest treasure. He has proved his love for you by giving his son to death. What more can he do to show you how much he loves you and how much he is with you? Amen. And may the grace of God be with you always in Christ Jesus.